we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Test Doctrines. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. I have just read from the English Standard Version. Even though Aaron admired the teacher he had started listening to, after 3 months of devoted attention, he noticed a troubling shift in himself. His number one goal was no longer to become more like Christ. It had been replaced by a desire for success and financial gain. He also realized that his spiritual strength had weakened. Temptations he once overcame now seemed harder to resist. When he came dangerously close to falling into blatant adultery, it became painfully clear that something was wrong. As he retraced his steps, he discovered the root of the problem, his recent spiritual diet. In a time when information travels fast and many claim to speak for God, it's vital that believers learn how to discern true doctrine from false teaching. The Bible gives us clear indicators. True teaching produces godliness, false teaching fosters worldliness. One of the most glaring signs of false doctrine is that it makes believers more like the world instead of more like Christ. It downplays repentance, holiness, and the fear of God, while promoting personal ambition, sensuality, and material gain. Such teachings may fill stadiums and trend online, but they do not raise disciples. They raise fans who remain spiritually immature. Jesus warned us about the danger of mammon, Matthew 6:24. False teachings often twist scripture to promote a greed-centered gospel. Another key sign of a false teacher is their motive. Any preacher whose goal is to become rich, popular, or influential, rather than to make disciples of Christ, is not speaking for God. Paul warned Timothy about such people. They think that godliness is a means to financial gain. 1 Timothy 6:5. True ministers of Christ are more concerned about souls than sales, more passionate about truth than trending. Ask yourself, does this teaching make me love Jesus more, pursue holiness, and live with eternity in view? Or does it make me comfortable in sin, greedy for gain, and obsessed with worldly success? Prayer. Father, give me the spirit of discernment to recognize truth and reject deception. Help me grow in godliness and not be led astray by teachings that glorify man instead of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Genesis chapters 40 to 43. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Genesis chapters 40 to 43.
Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house,
"Why do you look so sad today?"
"We both had dreams,"
they answered,
"but there is no one to interpret them."
Then Joseph said to them,
"Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams."
So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him,
"In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand.
Mm-hmm. This is what it means.
Joseph said to him,
"The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon."
When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph,
"I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head."
This is what it means,
Joseph said.
"The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh."
Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of his chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a 2nd dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh,
"Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled."
So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it."
"I cannot do it,"
Joseph replied to Pharaoh.
"But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires."
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me."
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh,
"The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine.
The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them,
"Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God?"
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you."
So Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt."
Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him,
"Make way!"
Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
"I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt."
Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah and gave him Ashenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Ashenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said,
"It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household."
The second son he named Ephraim and said,
"It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering."
The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians,
"Go to Joseph and do what he tells you."
When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons,
"Why do you just keep looking at each other? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die."
Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them.
Where do you come from?
He asked.
From the land of Canaan,
they replied.
To buy food.
Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them,
You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected.
No, my lord,
they answered.
Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies.
No,
he said to them.
You have come to see where our land is unprotected.
But they replied,
Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more.
Joseph said to them,
It is just as I told you, you are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies.
And he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them,
Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die.
This they proceeded to do. They said to one another,
Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us.
Reuben replied,
Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood.
They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack.
My silver has been returned,
he said to his brothers.
Here it is in my sack.
Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said,
What is this that God has done to us?
When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said,
The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.
Then the man who was lord over the land said to us, This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.
As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them,
You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me.
Then Reuben said to his father,
You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.
But Jacob said,
My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, he will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow.
Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them,
Go back and buy us a little more food.
But Judah said to him,
The man warned us solemnly, You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you.
Israel asked,
Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?
They replied,
The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living, he asked us. Do you have another brother? We simply answered his questions. How are we to know he would say, Bring your brother down here?
Then Judah said to Israel, his father,
Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice.
Then their father Israel said to them,
If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved.
So the men took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house,
Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon.
The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought,
We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys.
So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house.
We beg your pardon, our lord,
they said.
We came down here the first time to buy food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks, and each of us found his silver, the exact weight, in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks.
It's all right,
he said.
Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver.
Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said,
How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?
They replied,
Your servant, our father, is still alive and well.
And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked,
Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?
And he said,
God be gracious to you, my son.
Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said,
Serve the food.
They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.